SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour two, on this Monday, and anybody that is anticipating the Breeders' Cup Classic, everybody speculating, you know, who's going to be and what we get. Well, one thing we know we've got, knock on wood, if everybody, keep everybody healthy and happy into November, is a fascinating potential confrontation between an East Coast and West Coast free running sons of guns when it comes to Diversify and Accelerate. And the performance of Accelerate on Saturday, winning the Pacific Classic, joining a pretty fancy company, Game On Dude and Lava Man, as winners of the Pack Classic, the Gold Cup, and the Big Gap. It has been just a brilliant run, and the job John Sadler has done with him, and not just with him, but it's been the summer of Sadler. And we welcome John. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you very much, Steve.
John, it's always hard when you're 2-5, 3-5. At one point, you were 1-5. They still got to go out and run, but the way he did this is what was just really stunning.
Yeah, well, you know, you know, we put quite a bit of training in him for this race because he was coming off a little 3-month layup. And, you know, you're running a mile and a quarter on a dead track. So, you know, we didn't spare any any training, you know, because you got to be ready to run a mile and a quarter around here.
And, you know, one of the things that is notable is just the way he's getting more comfortable and quite willing to sit and have a target out there. You did have the wrinkle here of making the, you know, the move and having to reach for a new rider with Victor sideline, and bring in that element and the preparations.
Yeah, that was my most nervous part of this was, you know, bringing in a new rider. Because Victor's ridden them, you know, so well and for so long, you know. And then, you know, you have, if you go with a local rider, you have the advantage of maybe having him work him one time or something like that. But that wasn't really an option with Rosario. But, you know, I have a lot of confidence in him. We have a great relationship over the years. So I brought him in, and we talked. You know, I sat him right down. He knows when I'm serious, and he rode him really well.
What did you tell him? Anything in particular about him, and what were their discussions going in?
Well, I think I made a mistake. I made an error. I said, you know, I think you need to hit him a couple of times, which he didn't. I think he hit him because I told him to, you know. But that was. You know, sometimes I watch Rosario ride in New York, and he's such a strong hand rider, such a strong finisher. You know, he does great, but a couple times I feel like he should hit his horses in New York a couple of times, you know, when you're going to beat a neck or a head or something. So that's what I told him. But, I mean, you know, I was probably out of line with that.
That you bring up an interesting sidebar. And not to get sidetracked, but I will ask you, as somebody that undoubtedly rode him in his California portion of his career, what do you note about him as he's matured as a rider?
Oh, he looked great when he was here the other day. You know, he was a really good rider when he was here, and he just looks more composed and more comfortable out there, you know, over the years. I don't watch a lot, you know, I mean, I watch a medium amount of races from around the country, but, you know, we're focused on what we're doing here. But, you know, I have a lot of confidence in him. You know, always have. And I know he's a big race rider, especially at this point. So it was fun to see him out here.
And did you make an arrangement with Ron Anderson? Is he the Accelerates rider, or is this a start by start circumstance?
Well, I mean, we're going to wait and see how Victor does. I think he's got some doctor's appointments coming up, and we'll, we're obviously aware of the calendar, what's out there. But we'll see how the other guy comes back or how soon he comes back.
Well, meanwhile, nothing wrong with winning a $1 million race. no matter what the future holds. And the future feels like the obvious next step, the awesome again before the classic.
Yeah, that's kind of what we've had mapped out for him, I'm going to feel very good going to Kentucky in November, and a horse that handles an off track well too. So I think we're going to have a lot of comfort. What's ahead for him,
John? On that topic, and there's clearly the potential for you to bring a phalanx of horses to the Downs. What, and I know it because you and I have discussed it over the years. I mean, is there anything in your mind that you would consider to do differently in terms of the out of town opportunity at this level? Would you ship earlier and train on site? What kinds of things have you thought about on that front?
Well, I mean, I thought, this year on Accelerate, I think maybe, he had too long a gap going into the Breeders' Cup last year. So that's why the Awesome Again is on his calendar. So I think most of the horses will have one prep, 34 weeks to 5 weeks out. I think that's a little different. Feel pretty confident about the Churchill surface. We know it well, so I think that's going to be fine. And, everything you tweak, all the time. So, I didn't really give it all that much thought. Well, it's not true, but, there's a lot of, you're always thinking. So we'll see.
Let's fold in the rest of the weekend. And actually, I don't even think did I call you for you, Betsy? I don't even think I talked to you last week. So
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, you're winning so much, you can't bring you back every week. But talk about Sunday and the Drayden Van Dyke show and a brilliant ride on Catapult.
Yeah, no, he really had a big day yesterday. Really happy for him. He's a really great young man. Really come up right under the Proctor team, Hap, and then Tom Proctor. So, I've always had a lot of confidence in him. He's a really good kid, so it was great. Catapult won his second stake here. He was so good the first time here. I said, let's go again with him here, because I know when something's working, you don't want to change it. I said he really loved this course. He liked the really firm course here at Del Mar, so we went back, and he ran just super yesterday. So we're very happy with him. He's a horse on the upswing. He's a mature horse at five, a little bit like Accelerate. Been well taken care of through his career, so there's no reason he can't be really strong this year.
You had to be particularly confident on, looking forward here. Not that Catapult needed, any additional compliment, but when Fashion Business ran the way he did, you had to think that you were well positioned yesterday.
Yeah, we really thought it would be kind of come down maybe the same two horses, Sharp Samurai, who had a little trouble in the stretch run, and my horse. So sometimes we have a tendency to overcomplicate things, but it was basically the same horses out of the Eddie Reed, and we got a great trip, and Drayden just found the seam, which you got to do in turf racing, and really rode him well.
He's interesting too, because with the days that when Chad Brown had him, he has run on, so many different turf courses around the country. It kind of gives you confidence, I would think, to bring him. There's a lot of things that it looks like he can do. I mean, talk about his best distance, that portion of the equation, and what you're thinking.
Well, this reason we went back to a mile is that the Breeders' Cup is, you got a mile and a mile and a half. I don't think he's really a mile and a half horse, so it made sense to shorten him up a little bit back to the mile, because that's probably the race he'd be pointing for in November.
Well, you're piling up the resume, as I referenced, leading toward November. Let's fold in Uvetsi and last week's upset.
Yeah, so, you know, she's a nice filly. She's a stakes winner, and she's group placed. And for her to win a group race, important for her. She's got a really good pedigree, and she's got a Baffert pedigree. She's my Bodie Meister out of America that Bob trained. So, you know, you got to like that.
What can you do with her? What are the options?
She looks like, you know, we'll take her up to San Anita and look at the both races, the sprint and the route. It depends on, you know, where everybody goes. I mean, obviously, Abel Talisman's going out of town, so there might be an opportunity for her in the Zenyatta. We'll just take it, you know, one race at a time. I ran her twice here, and, you know, it was tough. She had to kind of, you know, he kind of sacrificed to maybe get a little better placing when he ran against Unique Bella, because he was the one that was doing the hard work, you know, kind of stayed up next to her, and it took a little toll on her. But, you know, she came out of it good and came back in another spot and stepped up, you know. So Unique Bella was so good. She does that to a lot of horses.
Well, and I haven't even had a chance. It's been a busy morning already. You know, for those that may not have heard, coming out of Saturday, Unique Bella, the sesamoid, little chip, and it just, timing terrible. So the Don Alberto team and Jerry Hollendorfer announcing her retirement, and that, you know, opens up quite a barn door for everybody in the filly and mare arena.
I think you'll see some of the three-year-olds. You know, they're such a good group of three-year-old fillies. You know, that'll be interesting to see who goes in with the older mares a little bit earlier than the other ones. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, a lot of good things happening. We're going to talk about Catalina Cruiser momentarily, but I do want to mention the win yesterday, John, Tantara, that broke her maiden at First Asking, and she was, you know, she was favored and all, but she's a point of entry who shockingly is getting a lot of first out winners, and every expectation that this 2 year old will or 3 year old will stretch out. Talk about the win by Tantara, and looks like,
well, she's
there's something there.
We bought at Keeneland because we had her half brother and we liked the brother, so we picked her up for a song. And Juan Leyva, my assistant, he had her last year at Los Al, and he loved her a lot. He said this is one of our best 2 year olds. Unfortunately, she got hurt, so she went to the farm, and you know, she's come back really, really well. So we weren't surprised that she could run, you know, and she. The way she's bred, she's out of a Galileo mare, so you know, she showed a lot in the morning. So we were really excited about her and happy to see her. When she had trouble too, the 11 broke right out into her, run into her out of the gate. Otherwise, she might have won by a lot. So it was a good first start.
Well, we'll watch for Tantara to come back, and we're looking forward to next week. The Catalina Cruiser storyline changed a little bit with Accelerate's win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, I don't know, a lot of people seem to think I should run those horses together. I said, why would I do that? You know, so we're going to go with a win and you're in here at the Pat O'Brien at Del Mar. It's a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Mile, which is what we have penciled in for him. So we're going to run him over here this week.
And that would set him up, obviously, the circumstance this year, getting to Churchill, the mile is the classic concept, the one-turn mile distance, and would potentially set up a confrontation with Mind Your Biscuits and maybe some other stretch out sprinters. Should be very interesting. We were kind of hoping, to see him in the Woodward, but
right.
It's all right.
Yeah, we just decided to stay over here. A little worried about the weather over there, you're going to see him probably in the Met Mile next year. So he'll be there. Just a question of when. This week we're going to go in Del Mar. Hopefully he gets a nice draw. We just got done taking him to the gate today and standing him, schooling him in the gate. Never really broken well. In order for him to win a real big race, he's going to have to be a little better from the gate. But he's got so much ability. It's going to be really, this could be a great, great race on Saturday. You have possibly Roy H. and Breeders' Cup sprint winner and Ransom the Moon, who's a very nice horse. So it'll be a good race.
Well, it's been a terrific, just a dynamite Del Mar overall. It's been great for you and great for the Hronas Racing team. 8 or maybe 9 wins, including, by the way, one maiden that I haven't asked about, which is that Sig Alert.
Sig Alert just breezed this morning, 101 change, getting ready for the Futurity. He'll go on the last day of the meet. Looks like a nice prospect to me. He's got a horse that's got a very good brain. I think he's going to be best when he runs 2 turns. He wasn't certainly brilliant at the leaders in that division out here. There's some really fast horses. The Indomitia horse of Hollendorfer's is really fast, and Bob's always got about 20 of them. It'll be a tough race, but if he's finishing good and running strong at the end, I think that's going to set him well for the stretch out.
Well, this happens to be a New York bred, a Street Sense, that Edition Farm bred out of Ouchie Knight, who I vaguely remember Ouchie Knight. I want to say Fred Seitz, but I'm not positive. Anyway, this colt was a big success as a pinhook, sold as a Saratoga yearling, and then fetched 400 and change coming out of the 2-year-old sale. And David and Gordo bought this horse, no?
Yeah, David and Gordo buys most of our horses, so he had this horse on his short list at Ocala, and I liked him, and we got in there and got him. So, we're happy to have him, and he's a lovely horse. He's got a really good brain. He's calm as could be. Sometimes when they come out of the 2-year-old sale, they could be a little shook up or a little bit want to grab the bit a little bit too much because they teach him to go fast. For a short distance, but this horse very laid back, and like I said, I think he's a natural horse to run 2 turns. He's got the body for 2 turns, so I'm excited about it.
Well, JJ Krupe graduate, and Sig Alert, folks, keep tabs. John, coming up also. I mean, obviously, every time we talk lately, there's a dozen things to discuss, but. The rest of the meet here, the other 2-year-olds coming?
Yeah, we're going to run a nice filly on Wednesday. I haven't seen the form yet, but she drew well. I think she's going to be good. Probably a couple the last weekend. So we got, I'd say, 3 to 4 more we're going to put out there. We're not setting anything out there that we don't like at this point. So it's an exciting time. And we've got really nice horses, it's going well. And I just want to thank my crew in here. I've got a fantastic crew, really done a super job this summer. So if you talk about success, you can't not talk about the people helping you.
Well, Candora is the Intimistia filly on Wednesday, right?
Yep.
And finally, Shenandoah Queen in the Tranquility Lake this week.
Yeah, it's the race we won last year, and we're back in it again. And the thing's gone against her is the conditions. She's been in some tough races, and you know, she's run second in the group race this year already. So she's a nice filly. So hopefully she does well on Friday, and then she'll go off to the November sale, you know, in November, the Broodmare sale. It's a good, big, good-looking filly, very correct. I think she'll be in demand as a broodmare.
Well, John Sadler, in demand when it comes to winning these stake races on a regular basis. It's been a great summer, John, and lots to look forward to. Good luck this week and closing out the meet.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. And I'd like to say that hi to everybody up there in Delano, probably listening. All right, talk to you later.
Bye. Thanks, John. And, of course, Pete and Costa and the whole Hronas team. It's been a magical run here.
And as much success as they have, just on a, you know, on a regular basis, I'm going to speculate that they're on their way to their best year as owners, if they haven't already reached that, depending on how you measure, you know, stake wins and you know, earnings. But one of the absolute elite owners in the game, and it just easy to, you know, to be happy for and root for. Let's take a timeout, and we're about 20 in. We got to bring in Johnny D. It's Johnny D week at Saratoga. They changed some of the banners on Broadway, actually, welcoming Johnny D and Will Schwartz for their annual assault on Saratoga National and the golf side of their vacation. And they brought in guest tellers to work the mutuals. The $100 windows are they've been cleaned and painted in preparation for Will and Johnny getting up here. And they brought in special wood for the pizza oven. Johnny D joins us next. We'll look at Fun in the Sun. And Tina had another big, she had like a, what she thought was going to be a big day. And almost $200 in earnings, but there were a couple of those big prices, particularly at Del Mar, that boosted the earnings for everybody in Fun in the Sun. Rich Nielsen has got quite a, I won't call it a stranglehold, but boy, he's the pace car, and he's looking good. He's got a couple of more tire changes yet before he gets the checkered flag. But Rich Nielsen, I don't know if Tina, I don't think Tina needs to, she needs banner weekends the next couple of weeks to reach serious contention. But I think she's probably better than middle of the pack, I'm going to guess. Johnny D, Express Bet Johnny D, XP, next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
Johnny, we're sorry. Won't you come on home? We're worried. Won't you come on? Water's wrong.
Johnny D joins us on this Monday, and I love having the opportunity to bring Johnny on at like the midpoint on the hour rather than the top of the hour. Top of the hour, we have to play the hard break with the vocal. It has to do with, if you ever wondered about that, why do we do that at the top of hour two and three? We run the same opening. It has to do with the podcast, the 3-hour podcast episodes. You can't start it with music. It has to start with vocal. So that's the rationale. Otherwise, we'd rather play music. And by the way, I one of the people were really nice. They really enjoyed Friday's appreciation of Aretha, and got a lot of feedback, and I added a half a dozen, most of the cuts that we played, I added to my playlist. So we appreciate the feedback, and we appreciate Johnny D making his way to Saratoga on the almost annual basis. There has been the circumstances where he's had to miss, but not too often, and so he'll be here soon. Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, they say you learn something every day, and today I've already learned something. A podcast has to start with words and not music.
It's the little things that fill out the
I will never be the same.
I love it. How was your weekend? We're looking forward to getting you here.
I'm looking forward to being there. And I don't know if the long-range forecast...
It's good.
The folks that put that out, I don't know if they're good handicappers or not, but it looks sensational.
Yes.
From the sources I've investigated. And, you know, on the heels of what's been a challenging summer weather-wise, rain-wise at Saratoga, it looks like we're going to have a great Travers weekend. And not just Travers Day, but the whole Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of thing looks good. So looking forward to it, very excited. And Will and I, my buddy Will Schwartz and I, to make the trip every year, we don't start, you know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So we don't start looking forward to our Saratoga trip until we're on the freeway coming home from the previous year.
That's a great line.
We like to wait till we pack and get out of the hotel room before we start looking forward to next year. But on the freeway home, we start to talk about, you know, how we can improve the next trip. Because, you know, it's an evolution. These journeys to Saratoga or anywhere, when you make a you make a racing trip with your pals anywhere in the country, every year you try better hotel, better eating arrangements, better place to golf, you know, there's a better time to golf. There's a lot of machinations that combine to make these trips wonderful. And we, at the end of each trip, we look at each other and say, can't do any better. Can't make it any better. And we've been doing this for like 15 years. We've been looking at each other. Can't make it any better. It's perfect. We can't. And each year it just seems to get better and better. And I am so excited. I mean, I would have loved to have seen Justify in the Travers, but since he's not going to be there, what a roster. What a lineup. I know we lost Hofberg this week to, you know, thankfully it's just a minor, you know, minor thing. And he's going to be back. But what a great, interesting lineup we're looking at. A couple of Europeans thrown in for a little spice. You've got a Philly in there. You've got the second best, so far, the second best three-year-old to Justify, Good Magic. He's in there. I mean, it's going to be looks like a full field. Wow. And the supporting card, the supporting races ought to be outstanding. Really, it's going to be just a tremendous weekend. I was on another radio show yesterday. We were talking about Friday, how Friday has kind of morphed into the New York bread or New York fold day, and how that's developed over the years. I remember back at first, when it first kind of started, it was like, really? You really need to do this the day before the Travers? I mean, like, you know, I come up here once a year and you have to do. But now it's the New York Breds have made such, or New York Breds / Fold have made such a leap forward in quantity and quality, incredible quality, that it's a good day's handicapping now. It's an enjoyable day at the races. So I don't even think twice about Friday anymore. But I know when it first started, and I don't know, maybe I'm alone in thinking this. I don't think so. When it first kind of kicked off, it was like, you know, can't we do better than this? And now it's fine. So I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to get there, man.
Yeah, looking forward to having you here. And you hit all the highlights, certainly, for what lies ahead. Let's do a little bit of backtrack as well. You know, the weekend, Johnny, spent so much time, and I'm glad we did, because I think we got a great, if not a lesson, we certainly got working examples of the challenge of a mile and a quarter race and what is unique about them. Because certainly the way you and I handicap, Eskimo Kisses in that Alabama was a horse, we'll use Thurgraph as an example. She had run a number of fives. She was four lengths slow, quote-unquote, compared to, you know, the obvious contenders that had been competing at, you know, what was available up till now at a high level. And you had to, as a speed handicapper, certainly, you had to suspend belief or disbelief and understand the dynamics. You had to go out of your comfort zone, potentially, as a handicapper and utilize a different angle to to use Eskimo kisses with confidence. And I think a lot of people, to their credit as players, did.
Yeah, anyone that used her with confidence, I give top marks to. I guess, you know, it's partly the mile and a quarter and partly kind of having, look, you don't know. You don't know with a lot of these fillies if they can go that far. I mean, you have an idea. You can get a kind of a feel. And then you kind of look at how the race is going to set up. And, I mean, when you've got, for example, you've got Julien Leperoux riding Talk Vouve to Me and from an outside post, but it's a mile and a quarter. There's plenty of run to the, you know, there's some time to get over. But he goes, you know, and kind of gets, and here's a rider who many people say, well, you know, he waits. He's a European rider. He sits. Well, this time he didn't sit as much, and he went. And things kind of got, they got excited up front with some other fillies in here. It went too fast. And in your conversation with Kenny McPeak, talking about how the track had moisture in it, still had significant amount of moisture in it. Yes, track can be fast, but it's still got that squishy, heavy kind of footing. Now, okay, they harrow it and they call it fast, and their running times are fast and everything, but it's going to be a tiring track, and especially for three-year-old fillies going a mile and a quarter. So they got in a kind of an early pace duel, and as Harry Henson used to say at Hollywood Park, that was a case of the last shall be first. And if you had your money on Eskimo Kisses early in the race, you probably, when the fractions went up, you probably said, that's kind of interesting, but she is far back. And then down the backside, she started to move up, and you kind of, maybe if you had your money on her, you said, this is getting a little more interesting. And I want to tell you, on the turn, if you took one look at her, you were like, oh, is she going to get through? Is he going to go around? I hope he doesn't get stopped because he's got a handful of horse. And Kenny McPeak discussing this morning on the show about how you have to keep her gathered up and you can't turn her loose until, you know, you're ready. And what a lovely ride. Jose Ortiz he cuts the corner and he almost, he kind of buzzed, who was it that he buzzed there? What am I saying? Luis Saez. Oh, Coach Rocks. He kind of buzzed by, it was almost like, I don't know if he put his turn signal on or not. He really, you know, just dropped by him. But he was clear, and she just did the rest. So you got a case with a mile and a quarter like this where you're handicapping. She, on form, you're right. Her figures, her speed figures, a little bit slower than everybody else. But the shape of the race and what happened up front and her ability to get that where it comes down to, look, they can all run a mile and a quarter. It's how fast you run a mile and a quarter, and it's how you're asked to run a mile and a quarter. That's what makes all the difference. That's why, you know, and for some horses, a mile and a quarter may not be their best distance. They can do it, and they can do it with top quality competition, but it's not their best distance. And this is interesting because it's a question I have with Good Magic. He can go a mile and a quarter, certainly. He's so far the second best three-year-old in the country, next to Justify. Justify's not around anymore. Can he get a mile and a quarter? Absolutely. Is it his best distance? That, I'm not sold on that. And somebody in that field, a mile and a quarter may be, you know, another horse's best distance, maybe a Gronkowski coming from the same shed row. Maybe a mile and a quarter is more up Gronkowski's alley than it is up Good Magic. Now, okay, so how is the, then you have to go into how does the pace develop? What's the, is there going to be early speed? Where are these horses going to be? If Gronkowski's going to be far back, is he going to be able to make up the difference in between? Is Good Magic going to have to go fast enough early so that it takes a little starch out of them. We look back to the Kentucky Derby. Good Magic made a move at Justified. He was trying to win the Kentucky Derby. He made a move at Justified. When that move was repelled, he just barely held on to second. I mean, one more jump, and he's third. But if he doesn't have to chase somebody, if he doesn't have to make a concerted effort like he made to get to Justify in the Derby, if he's allowed to just kind of cruise along, he's going to get that monocorder more easily than if he has to make that effort off the turn to go get Justify, and he couldn't, and he was a little bit spent from it, and then, you know, he just held on the second. So I think that answers the question you're asking with a little look forward and a look backward.
Well, and to me it's important, and it was a different scenario in California with Accelerate, and there you were trying to really configure a circumstance that is going to beat what looks like a horse that just is overwhelming on paper, and this was a different scenario. I mean, it was a much easier opportunity to go against the shorter priced obvious candidates in the Alabama than it was to try to beat Accelerate in the Pack Classic.
Yeah, and part of that is because Accelerate's five. We've seen him win at a mile and a quarter. He's two for three at the mile and a quarter. So going in, we know he can get the distance. He loves that racetrack at Del Mar. So we have history with 3-year-old. We're kind of a much more in the dark with 3-year-old fillies about what their abilities are going forward, especially at a mile and a quarter. We just haven't seen them do that. But in the Pacific Classic, we had a better line on these older horses, even the 4-year-old, much better line on whether they can get the distance. I mean, you talked about Roman Rosso being kind of an X factor in the race, and that's certainly what he is. He's an X factor. The only thing you can go, he's got the nation's top trainer, one of the nation's top trainers, and Bob Baffert sending this horse out. He's gone a mile and a quarter in Uruguay to win a Grade One there. He's won 5 of 8 starts. What do you do with this horse? Well, it comes down to what happens usually with these horses. The odds are against these horses coming. No one has kind of made that move lately. I don't, unless I'm overlooking someone. We've had it happen. They've done it, but not lately, I don't think. And also, when you looked at Accelerate, this is a horse who is just, his last victory was so impressive. Just his stride, his demeanor, his, people talk about, he's not beating anything. Well, all you have to do is look at the horse. Look at the way he's finishing. I think I saw flames coming out of his nostrils. I mean, he was just the time before. Now, he wins the Pacific Classic in a romp. Where does that put you going forward? You have to take each race on its own. He left the field, but in my humble opinion, I don't think he looked as good as he did when he won the Gold Cup at Santa Anita. I think he looked more powerful. Now you'd say, well, he won by open lengths, and that's part of it. He probably lost foot. He drifted a little bit, and he is at the peak of his condition right now. He's a 5-year-old who, he's on his game right now. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Mr. Baffert has in store and who else moves forward on the East Coast. I mean, right now, I guess we're looking to diversify as the king in the East. But a lot can change between now and November 1st.
It is an interesting pair of bookends. I actually, you know, opened, you know, part of the first half hour with that in mind, that we've got two horses with similar running styles that are on a collision course.
Yeah, and that are at the top of their games. I mean, they're really, both of them are just doing super right now. And you know what's good? They're going to a neutral court to play the game.
Right.
They both have to ship.
No, fair. That's true. That a neutral, good point. Speaking of which, I think most people, if you didn't hear it by now, you know, late Thursday, early Friday, the official confirmation of Santa Anita, Keeneland, and Del Mar as your 2019, 2020, 2021 locations for Breeders' Cups. The worst kept secret in the history of racing.
Just for the record, I approve.
It fits your travel plans?
Fits my schedule, yeah. I approve.
You know, there was a part B that seemingly we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, there's been talk apparently of a Breeders' Cup Distaff and Classic future wager that is supposed to materialize. Since we're talking this arena.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we mentioned it on the show or not, but a couple, well, right when Justify retired, when the announcement came out, I don't know if we mentioned it. I think we did. I think we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
Diversify was 50-1. And I mentioned that in my column that, you know, he had won and looked sensational. Now, I know he kind of has a favorite track, but he still looks sensational. He's not 50-1 anymore. I think the last I saw was 8-1. So, well, there's always been, not always been, I shouldn't say that. There have been, in recent years, future wagering on Breeders' Cup races. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I think it was like, I don't know how long ago. I have no details, okay? I don't know details. But I'm standing at Santa Anita at the Gap one morning. This is like maybe, I don't know, 30 years. How old's the Breeders' Cup? 40?
Yeah, coming up on 40, 38. 39,
right, so
38.
Maybe 34 years ago, whatever. Stand at Santa Anita, and Wayne Lucas comes by on his pony off the track, and I said, "Wayne, I'm going to Vegas. You need me to get anything for you?" He said, "Yeah, come by the barn." I said, "Okay." So I go by the barn, and he says to me, "Here, I want to bet on this filly to win the juvenile filly in the future book." I said, "Oh, great. Okay." So he gives me money. I go to Vegas. I look up, and I don't know, she's like 5-2 or something. I said, come on. I said, she's going to be that price the day of the race. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to hold the bet. You know, if he wins, I'll pay him, but I'm not going to bet that price because she's going to be at least that price the day of the race. I'm a genius, right? Turns out, the man has like a 3-horse entry, and I can't do anything with the. I'm stuck with the wager now because I can't bet the 3-horse entry. And of course, she wins by, you know, easily, and I have to cough up the money. I've always been a genius, I'll tell you. I've always had that knack.
Good job. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll teach everybody a lesson. Everybody listening.
I famously held one other bet in my illustrious career. My father, I'm working at Santa Anita. He calls me up. I'm working in publicity at Santa Anita. He calls me up, says he wants to bet on this horse to win this stakes race that day. I think it was a stakes race on the turf. And he tells me the horse and everything. And later in the day, of course, I'm in publicity, so I hear all the inside information. I hear that the horse my father wants to bet, he's got doubles and everything else. Or no, not doubles. Exactly. He's got exactly. Anyway, he wants to bet this horse. And I hear the inside scoop. This horse got in late at night, was flying all night, had travel problems and all, didn't get in. This horse is not going to win. Plus, there was a Santa Anita bowling league on Sunday night. And this was a Sunday. And I didn't have any cash on me, so I wanted to go to the bowling league. So I kept the bet. I held the bet. Well, the horse won, of course. That's the way all these stories end. And that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it is the horse's name was John Henry. I have enough.
It's a good job. That's a good one.
But he wasn't John Henry then. He was some horse.
He was just, yeah. He was, exactly. He was just, at that point, he was Jonathan Hank. Who knew?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I don't know how we got on that topic, but it's interesting.
Future. Oh, yeah, we're future wagers. Future. Well,
Vegas has had future wagers.
No, I know.
Why don't we have... everybody's talked about it. The Derby, you should have 150 horses, mm-hmm. or 200. I don't know. I mean, all right. Well, someday. I don't know. I'm running out of somedays.
No. We're running out of Saturdays for fun in the sun, Johnny. And it feels like Rich Nilsson is got a nice handle on this going into the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's every week I look up, I expect to see somebody else's name up top. I expect to see him kind of slide a little bit. But, well, you know, this week he didn't, I mean, it wasn't a crushing week. He went from 754 to 919. It's a good week, but it's not a, right? I mean, he didn't crush. He just kind of kept up that pace. So he's on the lead, and I don't know, have these guys given him an easy lead? He's just about $100 in front of Greg Knepper at 826. And David Essig at 719.50. And Richard Swain, 702.50, tied with Drew Coxey at 702. Or not tied, just 50 cents between them. But again, the top four finishers get seats. Pegasus, World Cup betting challenge seats, and then the fifth finisher, I think it's 2,000, 3,000. The weekly totals: Joe Rattel, well-known player with Express Bet over the years, contest player, 432 was his total this week. That's a nice number. $4,000 to him. James Marshall, 410, 2,000 to him, and Robert West, 388, gets 1,000, and Tina Bick, we're just going to give her $50 for playing.
Nice. Thank you. That's great. What, can you look up her total? Because she's annoyed, and maybe she brings up a good point. How come we can't scroll further down to see where people stand?
Truthfully, you really want to know?
Yeah.
All right. Mostly because we don't want to embarrass people.
Okay, that makes sense,
kidding,
I guess.
Just kidding. The 50, look, it's kind of like you know about where you are, So, yes, I agree. There should be some way of looking up your total, but we don't need to show everyone your total. Some people don't want their total to be shown, and I understand that, you know. Especially, look, you know, again, interesting conversation this weekend. Somebody said to me, well, I don't know whether I should go for long shots and try and get the weekly prize, or if I should play it safe and just try and build a good total each week. And it gets very confusing. I said, yeah, well, that's the way it's designed. You know, you've got to look for prices, and that's what contests help you to get in the habit of doing. You know, you're not going to win the thing if you make $100 a week. In fact, interestingly enough, if you made $100 a week through this point, you made $500. We list the top 50 players, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You'd be ranked 7th, off from the bottom of.
How about that?
You'd be 43rd. So $100 a week is going to put you at the bottom of the top 50. Now listen. Don't get me wrong. That's an achievement. I mean, if you're going to play for 5 weeks and be even, you beat the takeout. You've actually done very well. You're in the top 50. That's pretty good. But if you're planning on winning the thing, or if you're planning on winning a weekly prize, and this goes for all tournaments, you've got to expand your horizons. You've got to look for price horses, and you've got to look for price horses with chances. You just can't throw numbers up there. But it helps your handicapping. It really does. It really, you say, okay, here's the favorite, and I see why this horse is the favorite. Where's the second choice? Okay, I don't really like that. Where's the third choice? Just go in that order and start to look for one, and it'll happen. It will happen. You'll start to see where you'll say to yourself, well, hey, this horse is 10-1. The favorite is 8-5. And this horse was 3 lengths behind the favorite 2 times back. Something as simple as that. So take the shot with the 10-1 horse instead of taking the favorite. Because if you take the favorites, it's going to be hard to win. It'll be hard to win the prize. Don't be afraid that somebody's going to have accelerate and you're not. You know, you got to give up a little to get something in the long run. And playing prices, that's kind of what separates these tournament players from, you know, veteran tournament players from sure. Everyone else is they understand the value. You get a 6-1 shot and you just separate yourself from the rest of the group, you know, and they don't have to be 20-1 shots. That's another really good point. And we had a big payoff this weekend,
right?
Saturday, the versional was $84.80 was the $2 return. And the captain the contest, but it doesn't have to be those kind of horses. If you get just a, you know, I mean, you look at this week's results. You had a 14-4. I'm looking at the big payoffs. Tough but nice, 14-40. Eskimo Kisses, $20. The Virginalist, we already mentioned, and Fashion Business, 10-20. So, you know, if you get a couple of those along with some other reasonable payoffs, you're going to get to 200-300 pretty quickly. And that's really what you want to do in these kinds of events. Just playing favorites, you're going to get your 100 back if you're lucky, but you're not going to be a threat to win the thing. And especially when you get an $84 horse in there, that shakes up the apple cart.
Well, and Johnny, on that front, I want to just got a couple of minutes to wrap up, but got a visit coming with Rusty Arnold and Mike Beer. But that horse contributed, and really the whole pick five on Saturday at Del Mar was squirrely, it opened up the door for yesterday's carryover. I said we would mention it and get a second or two into it. I'm going to guess you took a shot, right? I mean, you played this yesterday.
I did play it. I took a decent swipe too. I took a double swipe, twice my usual, or actually for pick five, it's probably three times my usual swing.
How much?
$450. I chased it with.
Okay.
Quite a significant swing, but I kept telling myself, this is extenuating circumstance.
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt about it.
You're not gonna see this again for maybe months.
Yep.
This is an unbelievable opportunity. And I looked at the sequence and I couldn't put it together, and I just kept digging and digging. I hit it.
Oh, good job. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, I hit it. And I was terrified going into the last leg because I had four horses going into the last leg, and one of them was got scratched in the gate, right? Can't remember her name. I think it was a filly, right? The last race, was that filly? The turf race?
Yeah, the Colonial Power.
Yeah, she got her feet over the front of the gate, and she was scratched. And, you know, when that happens, and of course I had the favorite. I had Sadler's horse on the outside. But you always know when that happens, the favorite never wins. When you're forced to do it, like, or get, you have two tickets now, it never works out. But this occasion, it did work out. And a flying finish to get the job done. And look, I'm a Drayden Van Dyke fan. What can I tell you? No, I do. We've talked about him on the show. But what a day he had.
Well, so you buried the lead. You hit it twice.
Yeah. Yeah. But
listen to him. Well, good.
Yeah.
At least we know who's, at least Will and I know who's paying this week for meals.
It's not get carried away now. some of this goes into the household fund too. I don't operate in a vacuum here, you know. yes, I will pick up a check. Yes,
all right.
Of course. I'll pick up the pizza check.
We're seeing you, what, Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday.
All right.
You can find me at Hattie's.
Or at the Pizza Wagon, or at Pie on Wheels.
I save the pizza for Friday. When do we? Friday. Yeah, Friday after.
All right.
It's more of a New York bread fold day pizza kind of thing. Yeah.
Johnny, congratulations. $10,000 pop on a Sunday. Not so bad. Well done.
Well, it happens every once in a while, you know, about you find an acorn.
Nah, you got yourself, you got those acorn treasure maps. That's the difference. Well done.
Thank you. It's fun. It is fun when you win. It sucks when you lose, though, I'll tell you.
No, it's only less fun. It's not everybody. You take the losing with the winning. We're going to try to win a little this afternoon too. We'll talk to Mike Beer in a little bit. It's a very tricky pick six. I haven't put a ticket together. I was waiting for the scratches, and there are some significant scratches today, including three horses out of the Evan Shipman, but it doesn't necessarily make it that much easier. In fact, it might even, it's arguably, makes it a little bit tougher in some degree. But we'll talk about it with Mike Beer, see his thoughts, and Rusty Arnold, who's going to join us next, talk about his win. Rusty's been knocking on the door at Saratoga, too, and we'll look forward to seeing Johnny D.
here at Saratoga this week and weekend. Let's take a top of the hour break. When we come back, Rusty Arnold. We have many twos and threes, right? We got Claude Ray, McGahee the third, and George Arnold the second. Rusty joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.